step will I take without Jesus? What a beautiful song. Welcome, everybody. We're glad you're here. Be sure to remember tonight that Al Burns will be speaking for us. He's had about a year now to prepare for this sermon. Hey, Al. And he's got that whole thing down compact in about 24 and maybe almost 25 minutes. So be sure to come back tonight to hear him as he speaks to us. We're glad you're here today. It's a wonderful thing to have the Word of the Lord to preach. Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. That's what I want to do. Do what? Preach the Word. Why? In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, he said, you do it now in Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why he wants to preach. It's God's truth. It's God's Word. We need in America, we need everywhere, men, women, boys and girls hearing the truth. Why? John 8, verse 30, and the truth shall make you free. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Preach the word, preach the truth. In Acts 20, the Bible tells us in verse 32, now brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You want to be built up? You want to be stronger? Sure we do. Well, here's what he tells you. I commend you to the word of the Lord, which will build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Read that book. Study that book. Because I want to talk about this morning what Peter said over in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. Notice what Peter says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. What's going to come, Peter? The day of the Lord. It will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Who's writing this? Peter is inspired of God. What does it mean to be inspired of God? It means these are the words that God breathed into Peter through the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Peter wrote these words because God wanted them written. Peter wrote them by the inspiration of God. And the reason why, he wants you to understand, number one, that the day of the Lord will come. How many people out in the world today who are going about their lives as if there's never going to be an end to this whole world? You talk to religious people sometimes, and some of the religious preachers and teachers and evangelists will tell you, oh, I don't know. There'll be those that you hear on the radio, on television, who are scoffing because, well, if there's going to ever come an end to all of this, why hasn't it already come? Well, the very first thing that Peter wants his readers to understand is that it will come. The day of the Lord will come. And he wants you to understand this. The day of the Lord will come how? He gives you that answer. We don't have to guess about it. We know that the day of the Lord will come, and it will come as a thief in the night. Unexpectedly. Suddenly. It will come. What will happen? In which the heavens shall pass away. Look at the earth. Rather, the beautiful stars above. Look at the firmament as we see it, the sky, the clouds, all of those things. Peter, what are you telling us? Here's what's going to happen. In which the heavens shall pass away. The heavens, the sky, and all the heavens as we see it. You mean all this is going to be gone? Peter said, I want you to know the day of the Lord will come. And live like it's going to come today. That's the message. The message is, remember, I'm telling you, Peter said, and how will it come, Peter? Not quietly. You never heard a noise that you're going to hear then. It's with a great noise. It's not coming quietly, silently, but with a great noise. And then he says, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I've seen things, and I'm sure you have too, that look so steaming hot. Maybe a volcano that has erupted and you see all the steams coming out. You see the lava. You see how... Can't imagine being even close to something like that. And yet Peter says, the elements, which seem to mean the sun, the moon, and the stars. What's going to happen? Melt with fervent heat. How do we know these things? Because God said them. Who wrote them? Peter. Who is Peter? Inspired man of God. Why should we pay attention to Peter? Because Peter's telling us something that's going to happen. And we're going to be involved in it. And look what he adds with that. What will happen to this earth? Oh, I love to drive over the hills and the snow. Boy, wouldn't it just simply beautiful for just a little while? All the beautiful things that you see with your eye. And look what God says. Are you listening? The earth and all the works therein shall be burned up. But the best thing, and the one thing I want to convince you, is the fact it's going to happen. And if I can just, God will just help me to speak and say just the words to prove to you that it will happen. I don't know when, but I know that it's going to happen. Wow, look at all these scriptures. Put these together. I want you to just look at them. Number one, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, but it's coming. No man knoweth, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24:36. And Troy, I hope you're keeping up with all of them. Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Will that happen? Yes. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, for the Lord himself shall descend. I don't know when. I know it's going to happen because the day of the Lord will come. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead of Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The day of the Lord will come. Revelation 22:12-13. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me, Jesus said, to give every man according as his work shall be. He's coming, the day of the Lord. And he's coming for the reason of giving to everybody according to what your work will be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. And that's what he says. And I believe it. John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to do that. I want to be with you. I know the day of the Lord is coming. In Matthew 24:31, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Will the day of the Lord come? Yes. In Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. But when will he come? There wouldn't be not one of you in this building this morning, I don't believe, who have never been baptized if you knew Jesus Christ was coming at 1 o'clock today. I'm persuaded that many of you would be baptized. But see, you're not persuaded yet that he's really going to come. Why? Now, I wanted to know something that I hadn't noticed before. Just to know the day when the Lord is coming would be something, wouldn't it? But did you notice that the Bible says here, but of that day and hour. Wow. You mean on January the 31st at 2 o'clock or at 3 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, the hour even is known only to one. I know it's coming. I don't know when, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels. They can't tell you. They don't know. What? Which are in heaven, neither the Son, Jesus Christ, but only the Father. He's kept it in His own. And the Bible says, the day nor the hour of that day knoweth no man. You don't know. If you knew he's coming at 2 o'clock today, what would you do about your soul this morning if you're not serving the Lord faithfully? The Bible tells us God alone knows. Well, what will happen on that day? Well, here's some things that I gathered from the Scripture. Number one, as we search them, Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. They wanted to ascertain, they wanted to determine what really is right. What is the truth? Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life eternal, and they are they which testify of me. And he would, you would not come unto me that you may have life. John 5, verse 39. Well, now, I understand the Bible to teach this. The day of the Lord will, first of all, bring about all of those people that are in the graves. That's what the Bible says. Let me read it. Let's make sure. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for look again the word hour. The day and the hour. And now then, Jesus said, for the hour is coming in the which all. That day is coming, the hour when it comes, and the Bible says that all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. We buried my brother after he died in December 10th. In that grave, they put a marker already. He's in the graveyard where I've got another brother. Two sisters, mother and a daddy. And the Bible says this, the hour is coming in the which all, not just the few, not just the good, not just the bad, but all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. I wish I knew a whole lot about that I don't, but God hadn't revealed it, so I can't speak where He hasn't spoken. But I know enough about it that says this, that every person's in the grave is going to hear the voice of Jesus. And when He speaks, they'll come up out of that grave. Look what He says. All that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Everybody can understand that. I do. Everybody that is good in the sight of God, that's lived a righteous life, and you can meet Jesus Christ face to face, and you know that you're ready because you have sincerely served Him and served Him according to His will, and this is the assurance that the day of the Lord will come, and those that are in the grave hear His voice, and they shall come forth. If you've done good, that resurrection shall be to life. If you've done evil, that resurrection will be to damnation. Simple language, language that all can understand. My friend, I want to tell you this morning, the day of the Lord will come. And when He speaks, even those in the graves will hear Him. But then when I turned to 1 Thessalonians 4, I learned something else. I learned that Paul was writing about those that are dead in Christ. Those who are children of God. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The day of the Lord is coming, and those who are dead in Christ, who are those that are dead in Christ? Those who have lived in Christ, who have died in Christ. In Revelation 14, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works shall follow them on the day of the Lord. And the Bible says, those who are dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And this was a point that I had not really put a whole emphasis on before. Look what he says. The Bible says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Isn't that interesting? We will be joined together with our loved ones who have died in the Lord and in the clouds and then in the air, look at it, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? Can you imagine your loved ones that have been in that grave, who have heard the voice of Jesus, who now have come forth first, and they meet the others together in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. All God's people, those who are children of God, will be united together in the clouds. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. But we're going to meet together. God's people, and you've got to be one of them. You can't afford to miss it. The day of the Lord is coming. I can't tell you when, but I can tell you it will come. And that's why you need to be ready right now to meet the Lord, because those who die in the Lord will be with the others who have served God in the Lord and be with the Lord forever. But then one thing here we've got to consider. We've got to think about it. I want you really to think about it this morning. And that is the great separation that will be made. Oh, I pray that my family will be there, don't you? We want our family to be with us. Now look what the Bible says. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. When? In the day of the Lord. Is He coming? Absolutely. Don't know when, but. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. There's going to be a division made. There's going to be a separation made. And the Lord Himself will make that separation. And there'll be those on His right hand. There'll be those on His left hand. And if He would come at 2 o'clock today, where would you be on in that separation? On the right hand or on the left side? Well, why will those on the right hand be on the right hand? I want to read to you quickly from Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, and but the goats on the left. And then, now here's the answer. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand. The King's going to do what? He's going to speak. What's He going to say? Those to those on His right hand. He's going to tell them why they're there. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Friend, if you can hear the King say that about you, if you can hear that tremendous thing that Christ says, wow. And just think, that kingdom was prepared from the foundation of the world. And then he adds, for I was hungered, but you gave me food or meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger. You took me in. I was naked, but you gave me clothes. You helped me. You clothed me. I was sick. You helped me. You visited. You assisted me. I was in prison. You came unto me. You sought to help me, to encourage me and lift up. And then, everybody on the right hand, look what they're going to be saying. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Lord, we didn't do that to you personally. Ah. Listen to the explanation. And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Oh, that's good news. Don't fail to do it. Why? Because when you've done it to the least of one of my brethren, Jesus said, you've done it unto me. And then shall he say unto them on the left hand, don't want to be over there. Nobody wants you over there. God does it. Jesus does it. The Holy Spirit, the apostles, no preacher, no one wants you to be on the left side. But that's the decision you have to make. But he said to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Wouldn't even prepare it for you, but you chose that way. For I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in, naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hungered or thirst or a stranger or naked or sick, prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then he says, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. Simple. Not a one of them could say anything in defense of themselves. They just didn't do it. You're talking about sins of commission. That's the sins of omission. You just didn't do it. Why? Lord, if we'd seen you in that condition, we would have done it. But Jesus said, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. A lot of discussion today about punishment. Maybe we'll have a sermon soon. Oh, really, will there be people really punished forever? Jesus said, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Friend, we want your attention upon those on the right hand. We want to know what the Lord says about you. You've done it unto these. You've done it unto me. What did Peter say about the earth? The earth's going to be burned up, everything in it. This world's not your home, is it? You know it's not. You're going to change residency, I don't know when. I know the day of the Lord is coming, but I don't know when. But I know one thing, that it will come. Does the Bible anywhere say that Jesus, whoever set his feet upon the earth, again, do some study. I don't find any place. The Bible tells us when he comes, what's going to happen to the earth? It's going to be burned up. You see why God says, don't love the world, 1 John 2:15 through 17. Don't be conformed to the world, Romans 12:1 and 2. and lay up for yourselves in heaven if you want to enjoy them. Matthew 6:19-21. What response then should we give to the statement made by the Lord through Peter that the day of the Lord will come? Believe everything the Lord said. In Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed another man wants to die. Nobody in this audience would deny that. Nobody here would say that's not going to happen. You know it will. But I'm afraid a lot of us might say, but we still have plenty of time. How many times have I talked to people about their souls, about them being baptized, the importance of doing so, and they'll say, when I get around to it, huh? When I get around to it, when it's convenient for me. It may be you won't have that. In Ecclesiastes 9:5, the living know that they shall die. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He'll obey God in everything. Hebrews 5:8-9, though he were a son, Jesus did. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hear the word. Believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized, and live faithfully in the service of the Lord. If you're an erring child of God, listen to the Scriptures. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, shall hide a multitude of sins. Acts 8:22. Simon was told to repent. James says, confess. And John says, acknowledge. In conclusion, now one thing I hope I've made clear from the Scriptures, you tell me if I haven't. In this sermon this morning, my objective primarily has been to prove to you from the Bible that the day of the Lord will come. And we've noticed some things regarding that day. We may not know when the end will be. And you can quote me on this one. But only a fool can believe that the end will not occur. Again, we may not know when the end will be. But only a fool can believe that the end will not occur. Are you subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ? Jesus is your answer. Are you ready this hour to meet Him? If not, get ready by obeying it today. While together we stand.